Dads, I'm still rooting for you, okay? Some kids are going to be eating ice cream today. Other ones have some explaining to do. That's what I think is going on there. Rumor has it that somebody around here eats, drinks, and sleeps orange. We captured a couple of pictures of this guy. Here he is eating his favorite dessert. And here he is at the ball game. And here he is getting recharged, a little bit more orange energy going on there. And finally, that orange ritual that comes around every year. By the way, you can get a copy of my new book. It's going to be out pretty soon. The title of it is 50 Shades of Orange. And that's sure to spice up your family life a little bit right there. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Ken. I'm the family pastor here. And I don't want you to get me mixed up with that other guy, like the family guy. Or the real guy. There you go. And you're probably wondering right now, what does the family pastor do? Well, I'm wondering the same thing. I've been here for several months. I'm still finding out. It's a new position. It's growing. They tell me everything, birth through high school and beyond. And at this point, I'm wondering, what does everybody else do? A little historical note. I was part of this church 20 years ago. I was a youth pastor for about 7 years here. And then we've been in the Madison area for the last 20 years doing church planting. And God has brought us back at this time. And so we're really glad to be here and pleased to see what God is doing and to be part of that. Let me begin my talk this morning with just a story that will set the stage. The story is about a boy named Andrew. And Andrew was our neighbor. Growing up as a young boy, he'd come over to our house and he'd hang out with my son and my daughters. And he always liked spending time at our house because his home wasn't the best situation. His family didn't go to church anyplace, and his mom, she had divorced his biological father and got remarried, and the man that got remarried, none of the fathers were in his life, and he was in the military, and he moved around every couple of years, and so there was a lot of instability in that home. And so Andrew always liked to be over at our house, and he was a very polite, sharp kid, a kid with a lot of potential. Well, as time went on, they picked up, they moved away once again. But the good news is he kept in touch with the family, and he kept in touch with my kids, kept in touch with Joshua and the girls through Facebook, and he'd call every once in a while, and he'd even come back for a visit now and again. Recently, several months ago, he came back for a visit. He's now 18 years old. He's all grown up. He's still a very polite young man, very sharp, but he's got some things going on in his life right now. He's suffering from some depression. He's into drugs and alcohol, and actually proud of all of that. He declares himself to be an atheist. He said he doesn't believe in God at all. Well, a few weeks after that visit, I went into my daughter's bedroom to say goodnight, and Julia was on the phone, and she just had that look on her face like something heavy was going on. And I said, "Julia, what's going on?" And she put her hand over the phone. She said, "Dad, pray for me." She said, "I'm talking to Andrew. He wants to commit suicide." Wow. Heavy. I prayed for her and found out later what was going on. I said, "Listen, what was driving Andrew's hopelessness? What was that all about?" She said, "Well, the thing that happened most recently is his 15-year-old boyfriend broke up with him and told him he didn't love him anymore. And so that was just sending him to the end, and he just wanted to end it all right there." So the good news is my daughter Julia was able to share the gospel with him. She was able to share the good news, a better hope for his life, and Andrew's contemplating that. The good news is that Andrew's still alive. But the bad news is Andrew's on a path, a dark, lonely path that leads to a dead end right now. So here's the question. What makes the difference? Why does my daughter Julia have such a great life story, and she does, and Andrew, not such a good life story? Major difficulties there. Well, we could point to several things. I mean, Julie had the benefit of growing up in a home where Christ was the center. God was over all. Andrew did not. Julia was part of a family that was partnering with great churches through the years, that was coming alongside the family and doing great things together, and Andrew was not. And of course, Julia has an authentic faith in Jesus, and Andrew does not. So there are things that we can point to. But here's what I want you to think about. What if we could help every Andrew, as well as every Julia, and every kid live a better life story? Think with me about that. Imagine with me if we were all on the same page with the same goal, the same strategy, working together to the same end of reaching and teaching these kids for Christ. That is thinking orange. That's what we're talking about. For those of you who weren't here last week, let me just do a little review, catch you up to speed here. We started out last week talking about the fact that we have red and yellow combined to make orange. Red stands for the heart of the home. Yellow stands for the light of the church. And together, they can accomplish more than they can individually. And that gives us the orange power. Orange is a strategy. It's a strategy for reaching and teaching every child for Christ and giving them an authentic faith and helping them to pass that on to others. Orange is also a shared strategy. It takes teamwork to pull it off. And so that's what I really want to talk to you about today, is I want to talk to you about the team that is assembled to make this happen. There are three primary members of the team. Who do you think the first one is? God. God is the leader of the team. He forms the foundation. He is the rock. We've got to build on that. Let me invite you to turn with me to Psalm 127 in your Bibles right now. If you brought a Bible, if you didn't bring a Bible, please grab one of the Pew Bibles and turn to page 698. And we're going to read through the first three verses of Psalm 127 together. 968. This psalm lays a great foundation. The psalmist gets it right on and tells us where our focus needs to be. Follow along as I read. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Moms and dads, you better remember that next time when you're wondering. Yeah, they are a reward. They're a reward from God. They're a heritage from the Lord. But what I really want to see there is the foundation that is laid. Read that first verse together with me, Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Let that sink in. Say it one more time. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. The word vain means empty, worthless, fruitless. It's a waste of time. And that's exactly what we do when we say, you know what, God, forget you. I'm going to live life. I'm going to do my own thing. It's all about me. And we don't have that foundation. We don't have that rock. We don't have that focus. Unless the Lord builds the house. It's basically boiling down to this. Unless the watchman, he can watch over the city, but it's in vain unless God is guarding the city and protecting the city. Unless God is protecting our families, it's in vain. You can build the house. You can be the builder and you can build the house, but it's a waste of time. It's going to come tumbling down if the Lord isn't part of that. Here's what Jesus said. He said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. He didn't say some things, everything, nothing. Does that mean we can't do anything at all? Of course not. We can do things. But we cannot do anything of lasting value. That's what that means. So we can give our kids everything. We can give them the best of this, that, and the other thing. Throw all kinds of money at that and buy them the greatest gadgets and toys and the latest technology and make sure they get the best education. Buy them a brand new car when they turn 16 and whoa, they're going to make it, right? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. We can be the best parents in the world. We can do our best to learn from the best. We can read all the books and go to the gurus and work at quality and quantity time and everything that we think goes into quality parenting. But unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. We as a church can just throw all kinds of resources at our youth and build the greatest youth center in the world and have great facilities and great programs and all kinds of excellent curriculum and fun things for the kids to do, but unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So the Lord has to be the focus. He has to be the foundation. He has to build the house, or what? We're wasting our time. We're just wasting our time. So he leads the team. That's the first member of the team. The second member of the team is the parents and the families. I didn't say just parents because it includes the extended family. Aunts and uncles, grandfathers, grandmothers, brothers and sisters, close friends of the family. They're all part of that equation, all part of the family. And God partners with the family to accomplish his purpose in these young people's lives, to reach and to teach them. And so we're partnering with God in that regard. I don't know about you, but being a parent at times is a little bit challenging, right? And then you go to the Bible for some help and you read some things that are even more challenging and more intimidating, like Deuteronomy chapter 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. All the time we're supposed to be doing it. The New King James talks about teaching them diligently. Wow. I'm always struck by that when I think, how diligent am I in my parenting? I give myself to other things, but how diligent am I to pass that on to them? Am I investing myself that way? That's tough. Or I read things like Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, which is addressed to fathers, but believe me, it's to moms as well. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's a tall order. That's a difficult thing to do. How many of you think you got it down? How many of you think, well, you're doing okay? You think I'm setting you up right now, right? How many of you think, yeah, there's room for improvement? Lots of room for improvement. Okay? Here's the hope. There are no perfect parents. And there are no perfect families. You're not a perfect parent. You didn't have one. Your kids aren't going to be one. Teenagers, you already know that, right? Cut them some slack. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect families. None of us came from one. That's just how it works. And you say, well, what about the Bible? You go to the Bible, you're going to find some perfect parents there, right? I think you're going to be looking for a long time. You're going to be looking in vain for the most part for the perfect family there. The very first family, Adam and Eve, one of their sons was a murderer and killed his brother. You go a little farther in, you see this great prophet Samuel, and what was his family like? His kids turned out, they didn't know the Lord, they were a mess. Go a little farther and you find David, a man after God's own heart, and you look at his family life and it's just marked with all kinds of heartache and ruin and wars and difficulties that came out of all of that. Well, how about the New Testament? You say, well, maybe Joseph and Mary, the earthly mother and father of Jesus, they must have had the perfect family. No, I don't think so. Remember when they lost Jesus? He was 12 years old. They lost him. They didn't even know where he was for a couple of days. My question is, how do you lose the Son of God? However, I can identify with that. My family can identify with that because several years back, my wife Dawn and the kids went to the laundromat and they threw everything in the washers and got everything going really quick and let's go, we got to get on to the next errand and got everybody back in the minivan and they're cruising down the road and, you know, several minutes passed and Dawn's just looking and cruising and looked in the rearview mirror and started counting and she goes, wait a minute, where's Joshua? And they all looked around and they said, Joshua's not here. Ah! They slammed on the brakes, turned around, went back to the laundromat. About 10 minutes passed, I guess. And they got back there. And if you've ever been there, you know what that's like. A little bit of a worry. And fortunately, they got in there and there was a nice gentleman who picked up on the situation, actually bought him a bag of Skittles and sat him down. And Joshua, by that point, was just popping the Skittles in his mouth and having a good time. He made out pretty good. But as soon as he saw Mom, he just burst into tears. Oh, how can you leave such a nice guy like this behind? By the way, we were thinking orange way back there. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to leave you with the wrong impression. Because just because I'm the family pastor doesn't mean I have it all together. I'm a person in process just like you. My family is in process just like yours. We know what it's like to cry and weep over sin and shortcomings and difficulties in our lives and our family. I know what it's like to have God just deal with me about areas where I've needed to get it right and confess and grow before I could ever lead my family. I know what it's like to be broken that way. We're people in process. So we could say, well, no perfect families, no perfect parents. What's the use, right? No. There are some things you can do. Let me give you some of those right now. Number one, you need to stop making excuses. I love the song that we just had in the service earlier. This is not your legacy. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be that way. We got to stop making excuses. We got to stop playing the blame game. We got to kind of put the line down in the sand and say, enough is enough. The past is the past. I'm going into the future. I'm going to change the future. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming the past. Stop using that for an excuse and say, you know, I've got a better tomorrow. God's got a better plan, and I'm following that. Yeah, I didn't come from a perfect family. My father's an alcoholic. My parents are divorced. I grew up just counting the years and then the days when I would turn 18 and I could be out of home. Couldn't wait. And when it happened, woo, I was out of there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But that's no excuse. By the way, I've come to appreciate and love my parents. My father is deceased. Because why? They weren't perfect. It wasn't a perfect home. But I'm not using anything for an excuse. I want to go forward. And so let me encourage you today. Don't use it as an excuse. Some of you may need to just say, today is the day and I'm going to go to the Lord and I'm going to get some things right. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. And that's the good news, that no matter what you've done, you say, oh, Pastor Ken, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but God does. And no matter what you've done, the beauty is that God can and will forgive it if you truly mean it. And he'll wipe that slate clean and give you a new beginning, a new start, a new tomorrow. You say, well, I've sinned against some people. Well, maybe after you get right with God, then you need to go to those people. Some of you may need to write a letter today. Get on the phone. Have a conversation. Go visit somebody in your family, somebody that you're close to, because you want to put the past behind and go into the future with a clean slate. Stop making excuses. And then start doing your best. Not my best, not the person next to you's best, but do your best. That's all God expects. What is your best? Now, you might be wondering, hey, I wonder how I'm doing in that area. You're a parent. I wish I could get a little bit of feedback. Well, maybe you'll think different after seeing this.
If you could trade your mom and dad for a friend's mom and dad, would you trade?
I'd trade toys.
You trade toys? Would you trade your dad for a ninja?
No.
No. Would you trade your dad for a ninja?
No, he was a wrestler once.
He was a wrestling ninja? Would you trade?
Mm-mm.
No. No, why not?
Because I like my own parents, because then I miss them.
You like them. Okay. Would you trade your mom for a chef?
No.
No. Would you trade your mom for a pirate?
No.
Would you trade your dad for an astronaut?
No.
No. No, not an astronaut. Well, would you trade your dad for a clown?
Yes.
You would trade him for a clown? Okay, okay.
Oh boy, there might be some explaining to do there as well. But it sounds like several of you are doing very well. And that's good to know and good to hear. You know, you might be in a different place spiritually than somebody else, no matter where you're at. Maybe you're new to the faith. Maybe you're seasoned. You've been down the road quite a ways. Maybe you're in a different life stage. We're all in different life stages. I'm just about an empty nester right now. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Some of you are grandparents. Some of you have young children. Some of you aren't even married yet. Some of you have teenagers. No matter what your spiritual state, no matter what your stage of life is, you need to stop making excuses. You need to do your best. And then number three, you need to take the next steps. What are the next steps for you and your family? What are they? Here's a very important principle. More is caught than taught. Say that with me. More is caught than taught. We all know that, right? You would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. And here's the thing. Your kids don't expect you to be perfect. Okay? We're all people in process. That's not going to be the case. But they just want to see genuineness. They want to see growth. They want to see you in process. They want to see you taking the next steps and just being real. And if you do that, it'll go a long, long way. And here's a warning for you, okay? Here's a warning. Underneath here, you're wondering what it is, right? You've been wondering that the whole time. It's a magic trick. It's how we make marbles disappear. Okay, how many of you have been losing your marbles? Okay, I've lost a lot of marbles. These represent my family. I have five children. Joanna, who is married to Ben. Jenilee, Julia, and Jalissa, who are all in college right now. And Joshua, who today, by the way, is his half birthday, 16 and a half years old. So wish him a happy half birthday. And my life stage really represents a lot like Guy's, because his jars look very much the same way that he used this illustration last week. And if you remember the illustration, it goes like this. 936 marbles. It's 52 weeks times 18 years gives 936 weeks of influence in a child's life to the time they turn 18. And so basically, these four represent the fact that all of my daughters are above 18 and done. But what I've done, because it's so depressing to look at the empty jar, I've actually put one marble back in just to remind me that I still have a little bit of influence in their life. This one is Joshua. 78 marbles left. 78. I did the math. I added them all up. And I got 4,680 total marbles of influence that I had, weeks of influence to begin with. I'm down to 78. Now, the good news is I'm 98.4% done. The bad news is I'm 98.4% done. And my point is it goes really fast. It goes really fast. Over here is a picture of my family. This is Joanna and Ben. They've been married for 2 years. Jenilee, who goes to UW-Whitewater. I got a couple of daughters that are in college down at Cedarville, and then Joshua. A couple of weeks ago, we took Julie and Julissa to college. And this is the first time all the girls have been out of the home, and my baby daughter, taking her off to college. Now, Dad's like this, okay? You got to understand who I am until you take your daughter to college and you say goodbye, right? Last year, it was hard enough saying goodbye to Julie, and now this year, it was saying goodbye to both of them, knowing I might not see them for several months, maybe not till Christmas. And so as I tried to say goodbye to them and pray with them before we left, I just got all choked up. I could hardly get the prayer out. They're coming out like, come on, Dad, you know, spit it out. I just couldn't. It's hard. My heart ached. Why? Because I love them, and I'm going to miss them. I miss them now. But I want you to know also that my heart rejoiced as well because my daughters are living a great life story by the grace of God. By the grace of God. So, my point is this. Whatever you need to do, take the next steps and don't put it off. What are your next steps? Some of you are like, man, I need to spend more time with the Lord. I need to work on that relationship with God. Then do it. Maybe it's the relationship with your spouse that you need to really be working on. Then do it. Maybe it's with your teenager. Maybe it's your young child. You need to be spending some more time with them, some quality time, doing some things together, letting them know that you love them. Find that connection point. But don't put it off. Because, man, it goes so fast. It goes so fast. It's unbelievable. That leads me to the third member of the team, and that is the church. The church is, who do you think the church is? It's us. The church is you is another way to say that. The church is who? It's us. It's not the building. It's not the institution. It's the people. It's us. And God wants to use us to team up with the family to accomplish great things for him. The Great Commission was given to the church. Matthew chapter 28 says to go and make disciples of all nations. The church needs to make disciples and bring these children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord along with the families. And so the church partners with the family to get that done. Let me give you an illustration that kind of makes it really clear here. Two jars of marbles. This one represents the church, the light of the church, 40 marbles. That's the average number of hours that the church has to influence a child in a given year. Over here we have, anybody guess? 3,000. 3,000 marbles, which represents 3,000 hours that the average parents and family have to influence their children. Now, do the quick math. Which one do you think is going to have more influence? No brainer, right? And God set it up that way, by the way. That's why he said, parents, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But they are not to do it alone. It's too important to do alone. God's plan is for them to do it with the church. And so here at Fox River, we're thinking orange. And what we want to do is we want to leverage our 40 hours to be the best 40 hours they can be. It's too important to get it wrong. And we want to help equip you as parents and families to do your best with your 3,000 hours so that together we can do more. So as we think about what we're doing here as a church, I want us to think about the fact that it begins with a shared vision and strategy. All of us being on the same page. On your way out today, you're going to get an orange booklet that's going to tell you a little bit more about the vision and the strategy and break it down by age groups and give you some more info. Grab one of those, one per family on your way out today, and just read up on that so we can all be on that same page. You see, that's why we're taking the time 3 weeks in this series to talk about it. We want everybody to be on the same page in the same direction. It's not something new. We've been doing this. We just want to make it great. It's something that's been coming for a long time. We've been doing it. We want to take it to the next level. And then we want you to know that we have a specific strategy with each age group. We might look at things a little differently than the average church does because of that. And so if you got a preschooler, how many of you got a preschooler? Okay. We want to help them by inciting wonder and embracing a God who is bigger than their imagination. And there's all kinds of things that are geared toward helping them do that. It's not just babysitting. Some people say, well, you know, it's just nursery. No, it's not just nursery. There is influence that's going on. Those kids are picking up. You know how much they learn from birth to two, birth to three? It's unbelievable. And so we want to have that influence. How many of you have grade schoolers? Wow. What we want to do is we want to build on that foundation with the grade schoolers then and help them to discover the more. They're out there checking things out. And we want them to have a new understanding of how to grow in a relationship with Jesus to truly understand who he is. How many of you have teenagers? Okay. Some people say that's a really tough age group. I think it's a great age. And we need to capitalize on the age. And that's what we're doing here by fueling their passion, giving them opportunities not to just be at church, but to be the church. They're not the next generation. They're the now generation. My son went on a missions trip a few weeks back with the church here. They're doing it. The kids are being the church, and we want to fuel that passion so that they can make a difference and influence their generation for Christ because they're going to get it done. And then maybe you're here today and you say, well, you know, I'm not in that age group right there. I'm beyond high school. Well, it doesn't stop because we want to continue to fuel that passion with every single age group all the way up through the ranks. There's so much that can be done and needs to be done to be the church, a voice of hope, known by love, living by faith. That's what it's about. We're also leveraging every available resource for this important cause. You know, we don't want this to just be a one-and-done, flash-in-the-pan thing. Oh, yeah, we had a family series for 3 weeks, pat ourselves on the back. Boy, wasn't that great. No. We're going to sustain this. It's got to be over the long haul if we're going to get the job done. We got to keep going forward. And so we're leveraging all of our resources to do that. And I don't have time to tell you about them all. Let me just highlight a few things real quick. If you pick up your child, you usually get a parent cue, and that parent cue will tell you what your kids are learning that particular day and that month, highlight the big idea, and you can talk about that on your way home in the car. You can be on the same page with them during the week, read the scripture, memorize the scripture, talk about it, find out what they're learning. Some of you might want to plug into the parent cue app. And that'll update you with blogs and video and all kinds of other resources that come into play there. And if you don't know how to upload the app or download the app, ask your child. They'll be glad to help you with that, right? We've got other things happening with the teenagers. If you go to the website there, that's where their parent cues are on the student pages. And if you go to the website, we want to drive you to the website for all kinds of things because there's lots of resources there. Just go on the front page and click on the Family Fusion series and check things out. Doesn't matter if you're a parent or who you are, check it out. Know what's available there. We've got a lot of good things going on, a lot of resources for you, keep you up to date in events and activities and things that are happening. One of the things that we're introducing and doing, we've already started this, is a shared family experience once a month on a Friday night. Great event. Next month, it's the camp out. Some of you don't like to camp, and so you can just come from like 6 to 8, whatever the time is, and be involved in the fun time there and come have a time around the campfire. But it's a shared family experience where they're going to talk about the big idea that everybody's learning that month together. It's another way to be there. There's lots of other opportunities. There's journey groups for parents. There's family camping opportunities. There's service opportunities that the whole family can get involved in. Take your family. Serve some second Saturday. And I know at this point I'm starting to sound like an infomercial, so I'll get off of that and just let you explore because there's so many things that we want to leverage all those resources. But I'd be amiss if I didn't mention this, our greatest resource. You know what that is? It's our volunteers. Guy talked about that earlier, our volunteers. One of the things that I've been very impressed by here at Fox River over the last couple of months is just seeing how many people are serving in so many different ways, so many unsung heroes. Jesus said, the greatest of you are those who are the servants of all. And so there's a lot of great people serving around here. You come up, there's people helping you park in all kinds of weather. There's people greeting you, giving you a bulletin. There's people up here on the stage that are using their gifts to lead in worship. There are people up there in the sound booth and doing video and all kinds of things happening here. Isn't that awesome? I want to highlight some very special people today, though, some great people. So if you're in the service and you've got an orange shirt on like this, would you please stand today? These are people that are currently working in the youth ministries, and I want you to just let them know how thankful you are for them. A lot more are serving in the ranks back in the other areas, but let's just give them a round of applause and let them know. Thank you. Thank you. You are great, and you look great in orange. Yeah. And let me encourage you to do a few things there. Would you just stop by as you pick up your child today and say thank you to those people? You see somebody in orange shirt, stop them, thank them for their service. And would you pray for them? Pray for us. We need your prayers. And lastly, would you join them? As Guy said earlier, there's opportunities for everybody. Some of you might be your opportunity to join in the youth ministries team. We have needs in Waterford, Muskego, here at the Waukesha campus. Just fill out that insert that's in your bulletin. Drop it off in the basket on your way out today. Drop it off at the orange booth. There's an orange booth in the gym, by the way. You can get some more questions answered there if you have questions about any of this stuff. Go to the website. There's a place to sign up there. Just check it out. Just you say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do and where I would fit in. Talk to somebody about that. We'll follow up with you. We'll get you plugged in if we can. We'd love to have you on the team. Now, here's what I want us to remember as we close. I believe that this church is positioned at such a time as this to do great things for God, for family ministries, for families. This is important stuff. You know, lives actually hang in the balances. This has eternal consequences. Are we going to give ourselves to it? That's the question. It's going to take hard work, determination, faith. But with God, we can do it. And so I want to invite you to join in the team. I want to invite you to partner with us in that. Here's the very last blank on your outline if you're following along with that. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. There's kids like mine in this world. There's kids like yours in this world. There's kids like Andrew. And they all deserve our very best. God wants to use us in that process. So the big question is, what's your next step? Maybe you're brand new to Fox River. Hey, let me just invite you to check things out. Maybe you've been here for a while. Continue to serve. Continue to give. Continue to be a part of things. Let other people know. You might have a friend or a neighbor that just needs to be invited. Let them know that there's a church that cares about them and their families and is willing to partner with them to make sure that they use their influence. You use it or you lose it. I think God has great things in store. I'm looking forward to it. And so let's pray to that end. Father, we are so grateful for all that you've done, all that you are doing, and we look so forward to what you're going to do in the future. God, I pray for every family, every person, every need, that you would meet that need, that you would bless the families, that you would help us as a church to rise up and seize the moment to help every child have a better story. For your honor and for your glory, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.